Moncrief on News Talk.
You would struggle to find anyone better travelled than Tony Wheeler, the co-founder of Lonely Planet. He's been to over 170 countries and he still has more on his travel bucket list. But having sold the company that he and his wife Maureen spent decades building up, do guidebooks still serve a purpose for the modern day traveller? And what countries would he never go back to? Tony Wheeler joins us now on the line. Tony, how are you today?
I am very well.
I have to say thank you first. I can't describe the number of holidays I've gone on where one of the great pleasures is booking the holiday. The next pleasure is buying the Lonely Planet guide to it and spending a good few weeks planning and looking forward to things that you're going to enjoy.
And at the end, I hope bringing a book back that worked and it's got lots of little scribbles in it and corners turned over and burnt pages and things that have been spilt on it. Always a good sign.
I hope that era isn't gone completely.
No, look, people use travel in, people travel in different ways. And I think a lot of people still do use guidebooks. I still use guidebooks, but it isn't the only source of information. We find our information by all sorts of different methods these days.
And I said there in the intro, you've been to over 170 countries, but you still have itchy feet. There are still places you want to go to.
Yeah, you know, part of it is how you count the countries, because officially, I guess there's 193 or whatever United Nations countries. But there are a bunch of places that, to my mind, are countries but don't appear in the United Nations.
Right. It started from very humble beginnings, didn't it?
Yeah, back in the 70s, this is going back a long, long time. Back in the 70s, Maureen, my wife from Belfast, so not that far away from
very
you.
Very good.
She and I were living in London and we decided we'd do a little trip and get travel out of our system. And we bought an old car and we set out driving across Europe and eventually we drove all the way to Afghanistan. And that was really the start of Lonely Planet.
Were you taking notes as you went along? Were you doing it because you thought there just isn't information on this?
I was taking notes, but that first trip, we hadn't invented Lonely Planet yet. So we hadn't anticipated that we really had to be taking notes. Later on, of course, we became much more businesslike about it.
Right, and it grew into an enormous company. I know you say it's a long, long time ago, but when you think about it, it's only 50 years. It's, you know, it's a drop in the ocean in terms of, you know, the world.
In terms of all the years I've got on my passport, yeah.
But it's more the rate of change during that 50 years that's jaw-dropping, isn't it?
It is, you know, and I always say that there are three things, the big changes you can see. One, of course, is the, you know, the internet and the ability to just go online and book a hotel or book a rental car or sort your visa out. Doing all that stuff online is so much easier and finding information. And then the second thing is just that travel has become easier and cheaper and you can go further on less money. And we can put some of that down to the jumbo jet. You know, that brought the cost down like crazy. And we can put some of it down to Ryanair. It's you guys' fault. You guys did it.
You say fault. I say fair play, Ryanair.
Yeah, well done them. I've had a lot of Ryanair experiences and most of them have been really good. But they're, you know, they're not the only one. There's EasyJet in the US, there's Southwest in Asia, there's AirAsia, there's a bunch of them. So that's another factor. And then just places that were closed that have opened. And I always say China. You know, when I started traveling, you couldn't go to China.
Yeah.
China was a closed door. And there you have, what, 20% of the world's population. And now it's open.
And the big change is really information, isn't it? When you were writing these books initially and you were somewhere far off the beaten path, there was no information. Now, almost everybody takes out their phone and within seconds can find local information or somebody else saying something about they were there previously. They've almost too much of it.
Yeah, and there's a certain degree of misinformation as well.
Oh, huge degree. Huge degree.
Yeah, guidebooks, you know, are safe in that respect. They're more dependable.
Yeah, they are not fake news, for instance.
That's for sure.
Yeah. You wrote recently about places that you wouldn't go back to, and it was fascinating to see them. You've gone Russia as one example.
Yeah, look, I've been to Russia. I've traveled the Trans-Siberian, so I've taken that train from one side of Russia to the other. But I've also been to Ukraine, and I just think, you know, what the Russians are doing in Ukraine is totally wrong. And I'm not going to go to Russia again until they start behaving themselves a little better.
I hope that is very soon, although I have a feeling we shouldn't be holding our breath. You also have Saudi Arabia on it, which is a country which is investing tens of billions of dollars at the moment into becoming a tourist destination, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's certainly a lot easier to visit Saudi Arabia than it was the time when I went there. And look, I've got to say, it's a fascinating place. I found it really interesting. You know, all of this is very selfish on my part. But if I say don't go to Saudi Arabia, but I've been there, or don't go to Russia, but I've been there, it's hardly fair if you want to go out and see it. But look, Saudi Arabia does a lot of bad things as well. I don't think you should have someone who just visits the Saudi Arabian embassy and gets, you know, killed and chopped up and carted out. I mean, that ain't good as far as I'm concerned.
And there's other stuff too. I didn't know about this, but they're kind of cheetahs, collecting cheetahs to have them flown from Somaliland.
Absolutely. I was in Somaliland, and there was a sort of cheetah rescue place there where these cheetahs had been grabbed when they were just, you know, cheetah kittens, basically, and were going to be shipped off to Saudi Arabia to be kept as pets. You know, well, that's fine when the thing is no bigger than a cat. When it becomes a cheetah and starts ripping your furniture apart and ready to bite your leg off, we know what's going to happen to these things. They're going to be killed. And I don't agree with that either.
Right. You did, and you spent a lot of your time traveling through the US. And I think we in Ireland have a very romantic view of America too. It's for generations, it's been seen as a destination to emigrate to, and loads of us have family over there, obviously. But you're with the current at the Donald Trump, obviously, that's putting you off that.
Yeah, it is. And I've lived in America. I was there. I went to school in America. My father was working there when I was a child, and I've lived there subsequently, and I've been there many, many times, probably more than any other country on earth. But look, right now, you know, if you go there, you know, with U.S. immigration, it can sometimes it's really good, and very often it is not good. You know, they're not very efficient. They don't get you. I've spent on one occasion 3 hours in an immigration queue in Chicago. And it wasn't that I was doing anything wrong. When I got to the front of the queue, I was through in minutes, but it was just inefficient. Right. And the US can be that way. So there's that factor. There's the factor, you know, you might get shot. There's too many guns around. The driving isn't all that safe. You're much safer on the roads in any European country than you are on the roads in the United States. But also, I just disagree with Mr. Trump right now. A lot of things he's doing, you know, I just don't think are very good. And for that reason, at the moment, the US is on my no-go list.
I think you're amongst, there are many people in a similar boat to you on that. Although I have to say, it's an awful loss to us, isn't it? Because America is a fantastic place to travel in, especially if you're younger. When you arrive, whether you arrive west or east, when you start driving into the middle of it, it's the most fascinating place.
I've driven across in both directions. I've driven west coast to east coast and east coast to west coast. So, you know, I've done my miles on Route 66 and all that. And I've always had a great time. You know, I've got a lot of American friends. I love the place, but the government, whoa.
Yeah, no, I know. I'd be intrigued to go back now and see whether it's different. And that I would find that very off-putting. But it's not. I find the sense of history in the place too is, it's kind of like you can see it in front of your eyes.
You sure can. Yeah.
The final one, you better just mention Bali. You're not going to go back to Bali either, no?
No, not at the moment. I've been in Bali very recently, and I've been to Bali a lot over the years. But do you know the traffic these days is just horrific? And they should have been fixing this years ago. You know, they had the money Of course, what happens with any country, they make the money in one place and it goes to another. You know, it leaves Bali, it ends up in the capital in Jakarta, and money they should have spent on building a railway line from the airport to the main tourist destinations, they never did. So you leave the airport and you're immediately in a traffic jam. And if you're there for a week, you're going to stay in a traffic jam for the next week. It's awful.
That is my experience of Dubai. In the one time I was there, I seemed to spend half the time I was there sitting in a traffic jam. It's incredible. Where is Ireland in all this? You're still happy with us, are you?
Yeah, well, I'm coming over in a couple of weeks' time for a wedding, so that's a good reason to visit Ireland. And I've travelled north and south, and I've been all around, and I've generally had really good times.
What perception do you get of us of how much we've changed?
Oh, come on, you've changed a lot, you know. Yeah, it is amazing. I was living in Paris in the mid-90s when Father Ted was the hit. And I mean, there was something that was a real indication of things changing in Ireland. Father Ted said it all, didn't he?
He did. It was a very, very public moment when we kind of threw off that, you know, the mantle of the church completely. That was a very...
Completely.
Yes.
And there's been a bunch of great films about, you know, the whole story. It's terrific.
It certainly is. So, I mean, I portrayed a very romantic picture of heading off on holiday with a copy of The Lonely Planet under your arm. What happens now when somebody wants to book a holiday? Would you still buy The Lonely Planet, or is there a digital version, or how have things changed?
Oh, you can do it. Yeah, you can do it digitally. You know, you can download it and have your Lonely Planet guidebook on your tablet and not have to carry, you know, 1,000 pages of paper. You can certainly do that, but that's still a guidebook. You know, and I travel with both. Sometimes I'll have the paper version, sometimes I'll have a digital version, and sometimes I'll just be on the internet looking at TripAdvisor and TikTok and everything else like we all do these days.
God, Tony, you're in the same boat as the rest of us, it has to be said.
Yeah, we are.
Very much. A listener says they use TikTok to plan their holidays. I'd love to see videos where people have travelled and you can see what food looks like in restaurants. Friends of mine use ChatGPT now to make their itineraries, which is especially helpful for planning to do a few places in a short time. Have you tried ChatGPT to help you?
Yeah, I have. I've tried most things, and a lot of them I tried. I think, well, been there, done that, don't need to do that again. But, you know, it's... There's all sorts of ways of getting information, and it's all useful. But really, you know, the best one is to talk to people who've been there, and even better, people who actually live there. You know, it's the locals who really know the story.
Yeah, that hasn't changed, thank God. Travelled for a year around Asia, Australia, New Zealand in 1997 with Lonely Planet as essential luggage. Pre-mobiles, minimal internet, still have the books somewhere. That's another thing. As you say, Tony, the notes written in the margins.
That's it. You know, they sit up on the shelf. They're the best souvenir of your travels.
And you remember, you look at them and you only need to see a cover to remember fantastic times spent with friends.
That's absolutely true.
It's great. Tony, an absolute pleasure talking to you today, and continued success. And I hope things improve in the various countries that are not on your list at the moment, and you might get back to them before too long.
I hope so too. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Tony. Tony Wheeler there, entrepreneur and travel writer and the inventor of the Lonely Planet series of books.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.